But no matter who we are, no matter how evolved we think we are, our emotional body is not logical. And it's conditioned, and it has a conditional life all its own. And what you have to do, if you think you're an evolved person or a highly spiritual person, is watch your emotional body. Watch how it responds. And then when it responds negatively, you have power to take charge of it and decide the actions. Now, what the lesser evolved people do is if they feel like hitting somebody back or responding negatively back, they will let their emotional body take charge of their decision making, and they will attack back because their emotional body says attack or hurt or destroy or whatever. But when the person enters the path, his mind takes charge. But it has to watch the emotional body, because the emotional body is not logical. It gets all kinds of feelings that are not logical. And when it gets a negative feeling, what the mind has to say is, okay, we have a negative feeling to deal with. Let's not let this negative feeling create any harm. Okay, even though my emotional body wants to strangle this guy, I'm not going to let it. Okay, because the mind has more power over decision making than the emotions do, because the mind is higher than the emotions. So the mind can step in and say, okay, emotional body, I'm not going to let the body strangle this guy, and I'm not going to let you have your way. So we got to solve this some other way. What's it going to take to make you happy? Okay? Well, the emotional body doesn't know. The emotional body doesn't know what it needs to make it happy. The only thing that can decide what's going to solve the problem is the higher, not the lower. The higher knows how to satisfy the lower, but the lower doesn't know how to satisfy itself. The emotional body does not know how to make itself happy, but the mind can figure out how to make it happy. So the mind has to figure out how to make the emotional body happy. So if your feelings are hurt, the mind has to step aside and say, okay, let's figure out what we're going to do here. First of all, I'm not going to let this emotional body that's out of control take control. It's just going to have to stew in its own juices. So the next thing it says, well, how are we going to diffuse this? He feels like strangling this guy. No, we're not going to strangle him. We're going to go to the guy and say, look, when you said this, it hurt my feelings. Okay? And so I wish you in the future, you'd be more gentle with me, because that really bothers me a lot. Okay? And normally the guy will say, we'll cooperate if you do it nicely. Sometimes, like I say, he won't. Now, if the person does this over a period of time, the emotional body gets trained. So it doesn't get upset so much. Because after it's constricted or diffused time and time again, then it learns that, you know, responding this way isn't really productive. But the big temptation, like I say, is when the emotional body responds, and you don't want to think, this is beyond me. Now, I consider myself as one on the spiritual path, but there are times in my life that my emotional body responds completely illogically. And for instance, my wife might do something that hurts my feelings. And I would think, well, she didn't mean to hurt my feelings. And it's what she said was kind of silly, and my feelings shouldn't be hurt. But my emotional body is responding. So what I'm going to have to do is go to her and explain to her that my poor emotional body is upset and it needs to be diffused. Now, since she's familiar with the teachings, when I do that... Yes, I do. So if my emotional body is upset, I will say, now, Artie, you know, this is kind of silly, but I got to tell you anyway. When you said this, my emotions was upset. So anyway, and she'll say, "Well, I didn't know that would upset you," and then it's just gone just like that. Another trick that we do is, yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to ask, is there any way besides confronting the other person, is there any other outlet to get rid of that emotional problem?
Well, some people have asked me, well, what if the person dies and you're holding a grievance toward them? For one thing, nobody ever really dies. You could go to like their gravesite and pretend like you're actually talking to them and talk to them and tell them how that made you feel, and that can diffuse it. If the person isn't readily available or the situation isn't conducive to solving the problem, then the best thing to do is just tell yourself you've done all you can, and you just give the negativity to the universe and let it go. And let it go, and energy follows thought, and then just take your thought off of it.
Try to communicate with their higher self.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah. But if the person's dead, you can communicate with that person or his higher self. Yeah.
Within my journey, I discovered a very a Hawaiian art called Ho'oponopono, where it's taking those negative energies and you you recognize them, you actually thank them for being there, forgive yourself and say I love you and release it, and it's a very powerful way to disconnect between the two, and it's been going for many years, and it's quite a powerful thing.
There is a book that is amazing. It's called The Anatomy of Peace. Has anybody heard it or read it? Yeah, it's a really good book. In terms of emotions, it basically just talks about, for instance, like if you've got your spouse, and if you've got your husband in a box and he's just a jerk because he's been a jerk, whatever, and we put people in boxes, and so no matter what they say or what they do, we automatically see it through those glasses, or we see them in that box. And if we take and remove those people from that box and we can see them just as people, then we're giving the benefit of the doubt and feelings aren't hurt as often. Anyway, the book is phenomenal, and I think everybody should read it a couple times a year probably, but anyway.
Good point. Yeah, it's interesting that Marty and I have a little ceremony we perform if we ever hurt each other's feelings or get in an argument and feels like there's a negative cloud. One of us grabs the other and forces the other to say I love you three times. And it's interesting. Like I'll say to her, she may be in a bad mood, and I'll say, okay, now look me in the eyes and tell me you love me. And she'll say, I love you. And I say, no, you got to sound like you really mean it. Now really mean it this time. I love you. Okay, now it was closer. Now, really like you mean it. I love you. And then by the third time, we can't even remember what we're arguing about. it's amazing how that works. And she'll do it to me sometimes also. So it's a great thing that just the sharing of love and looking on each other's soul is just an amazing thing. And that's what makes people fall in love. You can... remember these two criminals that killers that escaped, and who helped him? That kind of homely-looking woman that fell in love with them, supposedly. And it's amazing how many of these women fall in love with these killers. Charles Manson just got married to some gal who fell in love with him. You know, now how does this happen? It happens because if you don't know the person at all and just meet them and just don't look at their background or their history, you just look at them as a soul, you can fall in love with anybody. If you remove all the barriers, have no history, just the person in front of you, and you spend some time with them, you can fall in love with them if you allow yourself. You can fall in love with anybody. What the mind has to do is select somebody compatible and then let yourself fall in love with that person that is compatible with you. But You can fall in love with anyone if you look upon their soul. And it's amazing, when people first get together, they will fall madly in love. Why? Because they're not putting energy on any fault, on any problem with their personality or the body odor or anything. They're just putting attention on their souls, and they fall madly in love. Then when they get to know each other, well, the guy's not putting his socks away. You know, and they put their attention on all kinds of little flaws, and those little flaws take away from looking at the soul. And then pretty soon they just can't stand each other. And I'm sure a lot of us have met people that were in love at first, and then after a period of time, they just loathe the other person. I mean, they hate them more than any person on the planet. And once they were madly in love with them, but now they just can't stand there. Stand to be in their presence. It's just torture to spend any time with them at all. And why? Because they're not looking on the soul anymore. And this is why that practice that Artie and I do, it helps us to kind of reinvigorate ourselves when we need to. So reestablish and remind us of our origins, how we felt when we first fell in love. And so this is really important. Okay, we're going to take one more short break, and then we'll come back and finish this off.